joined by our national political correspondent, Claudette Hoity. Welcome, Claudette.
Metro Committee, Te Akwe. Matthew, thanks very much for crossing down to me here in Whanake. Whanganui a tara this evening. Wonderful to talk to you, and our commiserations to the apporters, whānau. Absolutely.
Yeah. It is very, very sad.
You would know better than anyone. This is a case of someone who has passed away in detention that came to the media. We're just wondering, though, whether or not there are additional cases to be heard of our whānau who have either taken their own lives or who have died under suspicious circumstances while being in detention. Those kinds of that kind of information isn't privy to the public, unless, of course, it is broken by the media, and we are reliant upon the media to give us that information. So actually, poor Leah Porter might just be just the tip of the iceberg.
Well, that's right. I mean, we're literally talking about hundreds and thousands of New Zealand citizens that have been through those detention centres. The sad news is we hear about maybe the death in custody, but we don't actually hear anything about the attempts on people's lives in custody, which is something that I've alluded to today. We're going to be talking to Vicky Rose from the Narang Neighbourhood Centre shortly about this over in Queensland, who's been an advocate for this kaupapa as well. But I just wondered, just having spoken with Sue Moroney, the opportunity, the election of a Labor government in Australia, are we going to expect to see a difference in the way diplomacy might be handled between our two countries?
Look, I don't think that the Prime Minister is going to be any different than what she is currently. She said yesterday that publicly that her stance on 501s won't change with the change of Prime Minister, regardless of who the Prime Minister is. Mm. She is still adamant that they take responsibility for their citizens. For those New Zealanders who are living on their shores. And we have to remember that while many of these people are still New Zealand citizens or were born in New Zealand, raised in Australia, or even born in Australia, and you'll be able to clarify this, born in Australia but two of NZ parents but didn't change their status, what can still be returned back to Aotearoa. A few things here. The Prime Minister's got to emphasise that every single person that is on Australia's shores is in some way contributing to the fabric of Australia. They do pay, if they are adults, they do pay taxes, so they should have the benefit of all of the Australian services, including, dare I say it, community corrections, but also too healthcare, education. We don't get that. We don't get the same type of benefit that other taxpaying Australians get.
I'm glad you raised that, because the other big amount of money that's sitting in Australia off the back of hard-working New Zealanders in that country is the massive superannuation funds. I mean, they have compulsory superannuation in Australia, where a certain percentage of your weekly wage goes into that fund and you can't access it until a certain age, and But actually, we did some research on this a few years back, and the estimation of the amount of money of New Zealand citizens wrapped up in those superannuation funds is about $16 billion. And in fact, on the Australian side, they make it harder for you to port that money back. So when you move back to New Zealand, it takes time, effort, and a lot of other taxes before you can actually shift the money. So you've got that massive contribution base in terms of taxpayers, and also business, New Zealand businesses like Xero, for example, operate in Australia. You've got the massive amount of money sitting in superannuation funds. You've got the assets that people hold, their homes, and the list goes on and on. It's as if the contribution of the more than 600,000 New Zealanders living in Australia is nothing more than a cursory byline for, they all used to go to Bondi.
Nothing. It does appear as though the treatment of our people is getting worse, if it can get any worse. We do know, as you have quite rightly pointed out, that whole Bondi thing, Kiwis and Māori, and squatting it in Bondi. Mm. That's how, you know, that was the rhetoric back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, some of the 90s. And, you know, we are up to three and four generations of Australian-born Kiwis, Māori, who are Australians, i.e. the Mozzies.
Mm.
You know, so we have contributed on many, many levels to that country. And I think that the Prime Minister actually needs to reinforce that. So what we're hearing at the moment is that we have got some individuals who have committed felonies, who have committed crimes, and therefore they are not our responsibility, but they are Australia's responsibility.
Mm.
Actually, it's more than that, isn't it? It's about all New Zealanders and the treatment of all New Zealanders that are still on their shores. Also, too, many of those, a significant number of those that are in detention are sometimes, some of them are waiting for their day in court.
Oh, the Administrative Appeals Tribunal, right, or an appeal against conviction.
And they are being put on this 501 trail. Now, the policy, though, was the 1106 or 116 something, and those are very different from the 501s. So, but they're being lumped all together and being sent back. And let's not forget that our rangatahi are lumped into these as well. Last year, a couple of years ago, we saw a rangatahi aged about 14 who was returned on his own, now in the care of OT. And he's just sort of seeped into the fabric of NZ community without whānau. We don't know how he is, even, and not that we want to know his personal details, but where is the responsibility of the Australian government in just sacking a kid out off their shores? Mm. I mean, that's a breach of international human rights, surely.
Well, the Declaration of the Rights of the Child that Australia has signed up to.
Also, too, on another issue, still to do with rangatahi, it was an Aboriginal Māori boy who was deported as well, too. I mean, the child was born in Australia. Yes, whakapapa Māori, whakapapa moemoeā, but sent back to a place that he had absolutely no idea about. How is it that a country can sack an Indigenous First Nations person from off their whenua?
Mm.
Unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. It's not the first time it's happened. There was a case some time ago of a lady who they thought was Dutch, and she was deported back to overseas, and before they found out, she was all of a sudden the government's paying millions of dollars, and I'm not even going to go there. Hey, one of the kaupapa, aside from the 501s, we've got the Māori ministers have hit the road for their the annual We Sell the Budget roadshow. Have you got any updates on what's going on with the roadshow around town? Are they being accepted in terms of being heard? And is the budget any good? And blah, blah.
Yeah, the budget is good.
Mm.
You know, forget about all the, you know, negativity. Yes, we could do with more. Absolutely, we could do with more. $1.5 billion Māori targeted funding. First time we've had that amount of money, and you know as well as I do that the amount of effort that you need to put in to get that money out of the budget, out of Treasury, let alone get it, you know, negotiate your way around every other minister sitting around that cabinet table, takes a lot of negotiation skill. It's a lot of bargaining. It's a lot of trading, and for us to get 1.5 targeted funding is incredible, and I congratulate Minister Willie Jackson and his mates. But let's not forget as well, too, that in terms of the Māori budget, just as an example, or in terms of the health budget, as an example, Māori still are advantaged by the $2 billion that has been put aside for both the NZ, Health NZ, and the Māori Authority. So while we got $48 million for commissioning this round, actually, it's on top of the $2 billion that was set aside for NZ, Health NZ, and the Māori authority. I think you've got to tell us, I've got to remind our whānau, though, if we want more money to go to the Māori Health Authority, then my suggestion is, rightly or wrongly, but my suggestion is that we opt out of our general practitioners and go to Māori PHOs, go to Hauora Māori and register with them. We were told today that the number of, and I've got the actual number, the number of Māori who are registered with general practice practitioners compared to the number of Māori with who are registered with PHOs, Māori health providers, 733,000 Māori on PHOs, that's for general PHOs.
Wow.
And 150,000 Māori with PHOs that are Māori health providers. Now,
That's amazing. So basically, if we all transferred over to the Hauora, our own Hauora, our own PHOs, my goodness, that would really change the dial on funding.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That number of 7,333 people identified as Māori on PHO enrolment registers, and 150,000 enrolled with PHOs Māori.
Mm. My goodness, they're big numbers. Well, let's see what the roadshow does tomorrow. And, of course, we've got Joe Hawke's Tangi, which is a lot of people are beginning to arrive in Tamaki for. We've had Dame Aroha, who was laid to rest today. Last reflection. I mean, my goodness, we have had a significant number of our Māori leaders pass on or cross the bail the last few months, haven't we?
Oh, just bereft, really, of so many of our whānau. The two that you mentioned, the two rangatira that you mentioned just this week, Wira Gardner, June Jackson, Moana Jackson, and that's just in the last month, So it's been incredible. I guess, we can take heart that we've got other leaders coming through who are younger, different type of leader. You know, there is only one Joe Hawke. There is only one Kahurangi Aroharirisi Crofts. There's only one Wira Gardner. So the next leaders that step up and take their place as Māori leaders, they will be their own unique people with their own unique styles, and I guess that's what we can look forward to.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Claudette Hoiti, always great to have you on the show, cover a broad range of kaupapa, our national political correspondent based down there in Wellington. Thanks so much for joining me this evening, Ihoa.
Nga mihi. Yep.
Love to